Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Network. Mike Blewett along with Dane Martinez. Man, that was gross. If you're a Giants fan. That was some putrid football. It put me to sleep. I'll tell you that much, Dane. If you're drafted, so let's do a little mini segment, Dane. Let's call it good news, bad news. Okay. Good news is Saquon Barkley is the real deal.
Yeah, he is.
Six games in a row with 100 scrimmage yards. He's approaching the record that Kareem Hunt set last year with 7 to start your career. Bad news is? A lot of holes last night. Olivier Vernon returned last night. He did help to, I wouldn't say invigorate the pass rush, only because it wasn't good enough to slow anybody down. But it did help them, and it proved that Jason Peters really isn't the same guy that he has been. But the offense is just so uneven. Drew Dinkmeyer had a tweet that I saw last night, which I thought summed it up perfectly. They have a Tecmo Bowl offense. It's throw a short, give the ball to Saquon Barkley, hope he tears it off for a big run. Throw a short pass. These are the four options. That's the first option. The second option is throw a short pass to Saquon, hope he tears it off for a big gain. Third one is throw a short slant to Odell, hopes he takes it to the house. And the fourth is a Hail Mary to random wide receivers. So Eli was getting booed last night. The first half was disgusting as offensively for them. Saquon was the only bright spot, really. And Odell even doesn't really do anything for fantasy owners. 6 for 44 on the 10 targets. Cody Latimer actually outgained him 3 for 52, a 39-yard pass. But it's not good right now. It's really going south. But I guess I shouldn't have started with the negative necessarily, but what are your thoughts about the Eagles? Do you think they're back on track now? I think Wentz looked good, obviously, last night, 26 of 36. He throws the 3 touchdowns. I had started him over Andrew Luck in the league, so I think I feel pretty good about that decision. But I thought it was smart of Joe Buck or Aikman maybe that mentioned, you know, he's just coming back. It's less than a year still since he tore up his knee. So he's just getting back. He had that nice rollout getting away from Vernon last night. He threw on the scramble pass to Alshon Jeffrey. So your thoughts first on Wentz and him getting back to maybe his MVP form of last year.
Yeah, Wentz goes for 26 for 36, 278 yards, the 3 touchdowns, as you mentioned. My thoughts are, I agree with you, Blewett, this idea that Wentz is still getting back into the groove. And what it also solidifies for me is that the Philadelphia Eagles are still the class of this division. Everybody was talking about, oh, there's no team above 500, blah, blah, blah. When all is said and done, the Philadelphia Eagles will be above 500, and they will be standing as the NFC East champions. I think that is clear to me right now. Washington is a nondescript, uninspiring team. Dallas is completely one-dimensional on offense, in my opinion, and the New York Football Giants are a dumpster fire. So I agree with you that Wentz is getting back into a groove. The other thing I'll say on Philly, and I've never been so high on this player because I've always worried about the injury concerns and stuff like that, Mike, but I gotta tell you, Alshon Jeffrey makes a ton of difference in this offense as well. Alshon goes 8 catches, 74 yards, 2 touchdowns, but, you know, he is this kind of outside number one receiver. At the beginning of the year, we've been talking about, oh, it's Ertz and it's Aguilar, and that's about it. Oh, Ertz is the only guy with double-digit targets. I mean, he had caught another 7 balls, got in the end zone himself. So Zach Ertz is going to be Zach Ertz. But I am really kind of growing in my understanding, Mike, of how big of a piece of this offense Alshon Jeffrey actually is.
I think it helps to round out the options that they have, especially when they are still trying to figure it out at running back. I mean, Smallwood actually got 18 touches last night. Our friends in the pit of misery below us are bummed because they put $300 in, I think, on Wendell Smallwood, and he didn't really produce all that much. He saw, I guess, 19 touches it was for 51 yards. And then Corey Clement has 14 touches for, let me see, 69 yards. So
he gets in the end zone too.
Exactly. So that made the big difference. Clearly, you're for Smallwood owner. You're hoping that he falls into the end zone. Now, going forward, we'll check the snap counts and stuff when we have the opportunity to take a look at it. But I don't know that they're out yet from last night. But I would prefer to have Clement going forward, but I think it's a positive for now, if you picked up Smallwood, that he's at least seeing the requisite number of touches to produce value in the long term.
Yeah, I also had a slight lean towards Clement when people were asking me on social media and stuff like that yesterday. The touchdown helps make the gap between Clement and Smallwood. Clement was also more viable in the pass game. He caught 3 balls for 26 yards, through the air. And I think that's what we're going to see. I think we're going to see a fairly even timeshare moving forward. And because of the way running back is in the NFL these days, Blewett, there are very few complete workhorses. If you have any part of the timeshare, especially for a high-level offense like Philadelphia, I think you're comfortable with that. Smallwood only gets 51 yards, last night. But next week, he could be the heavier end of the timeshare, or he could be the guy who gets into the end zone. So I think both Smallwood and Clement, are rosterable and potentially flex plays moving forward.
So you mentioned Alshon Jeffrey, a bigger part of the offense. Clearly, Wentz has a connection with him. 8 of 74, 2 touchdowns on the 12 targets. Nelson Aguilar, a guy that we own, ends up actually having a productive night, 3 for 91, but it was based almost exclusively on the 58-yard catch and run that he made. It was a really nice play. He kept weaving in and out of traffic. Only the 5 targets, though. So I just wonder. I don't want to base too much off of one game when everybody's finally back, but I just wonder if we see. Look, last year they shared the ball around a lot. I think we went over this a lot during the preseason. Jeffrey might have had 9 touchdowns, and then Aguilar and Ertz both had 8. So when it comes to the red zone, they're looked at relatively equally. But I just wonder if the targets moving forward will shift away from Aguilar a little bit. I tend to think that this will be fairly concentrated passing offense between the 4, Aguilar, Jeffrey, Ertz, and then Clement. So that's really my thoughts going forward.
I agree with you. I think, I talk about the fantasy herd all the time, and they kind of spread it around. Ertz is going to get his looks. Jeffrey on the outside. They all play a role. They all play their role, and I think they play it well. Yes, I think Aguilar will have to sacrifice some because, Alshon Jeffrey will get his targets, but I still think Aguilar is rosterable and startable because he makes those kind of big plays. But one of them blew it. I don't know if he was still awake on this one, but like Carson Wentz got his arm hit as he threw, throws up a duck. There are two Giants like defenders there waiting for it to come down, it's a punt. And then Aguilar cuts in across, and makes the play and then turns that into a big game. That's just the kind of way, that's just the kind of luck the Giants are having these days. And that's the kind of luck the Eagles are making them for themselves as the defending champions.
Yeah. So on the flip side of things, Eli 24-43, 281. No touchdowns, throws a pick. He sacked 4 times. He was definitely under pressure at times throughout the night. Saquon Barkley, a total of 21 more touches. He has 229 scrimmage yards and the score, a 55-yard catch, a 50-yard run. He's the real deal. I think people are going to be critical of the Giants for not taking a quarterback there, but I would only say that you don't know who they're going to get in this upcoming draft. Now, their schedule gets a lot easier in the second half. And I actually don't think that 1-5 is terrible and dumpster fire is apt because they know even people that didn't think the Giants were going to be great thought they'd be 1-5. But we all acknowledge that the schedule was tough at the beginning of the year. and it will get easier. And I do think the Giants can rip off a few wins here in the second half of their season. And I don't think they're going to be 2-14. I just don't think that.
Yeah, but they also blew it. They also seem like a team that, you know, because now they're 1-5 and there's all the drama and there's all the talking, you see Sterling Shepard throwing the garbage can, right?
That's
the schedule may get easier, right? And it does, you're absolutely right. But the state of this team is one that's, you know, already in disarray and maybe mailing it in and maybe, you know, completely off the rails so that it doesn't matter who they face. That's my concern about the Giants completely going off the rails and then winding up, once again, picking in the top five in next year's draft. Maybe the quarterback of the future of them is, you know, Jake Browning or Will Greer or something like that. I do want to ask you, though, something, Blewett. I don't know if it's to the back page of the Daily News.
That was my ultimate point. At quarterback, you don't know who they're going to get. Yes, it's a sort of a ridiculous it's not ridiculous. I think people are overreacting a little bit in saying that they should have had Darnold or they should have drafted player X. It's really early in these guys' careers. I just think it's a little judgmental to say that the Giants screwed up. Now, what would I have done? I absolutely would have drafted Sam Darnold. I would have drafted Sam Darnold number one overall, number two overall, number three overall, where the Jets got him. That was just the guy that I would have wanted personally.
Yep.
Baker, early returns, good on Baker. Great early returns on Saquon Barkley, though. And if they get a quarterback next year, he might be better than all five of the guys drafted in the first round this year. That's the only overreaction I think it's a problem. Clearly, this organization wanted to win now. They thought Eli had something left. And as much as I've defended Eli, it's becoming obvious that his play has regressed and the offensive line being terrible in front of him adds to that.
Absolutely. And so herein lies my I don't know if it's a hot take, but I'm going to throw it out there. Blew it. I don't know if you know where I'm going with this. I don't know if you saw the back page of the Daily News. Eli Manning is done, in my opinion. Saquon Barkley is so dynamic, right? And New York City, Blewett, may be one of the only 32 or 30 cities in the NFL where this could maybe actually be okay PR-wise. I think the Giants should consider Colin Kaepernick, Mike. I think they should consider Colin Kaepernick. I think about the RPOs. Think about the zone reads with him and Saquon Barkley. And then, like, the Chip Kelly that they could do with then Odell on the outside. You know, the offensive line is a problem. Okay, that wouldn't really matter as much. I'm not saying he's the long-term answer. But, you know, their offense could do a little something different than what it's doing right now. Be better than the quote-unquote Tecmo Bowl offense that you have, that you say. New York City may embrace this kind of signing more than most other places in the country, and I'm not saying he's a long-term answer. I'm saying maybe you bring him on and you still go ahead and draft yourself Will Greer or something like that in the next year. I just think that they are not dynamic right now. The offensive line is a problem. Imagine him and Saquon together. I know this sounds like fan talk, you know, but I'm going to go out and say it. I think they should consider Colin Kaepernick.
I don't think they should do that, and it's just for a couple of reasons, as some are off-field concerns and some are on-field concerns. I just think it's been a really long time. I don't know what kind of football shape Colin Kaepernick is in.
Right.
I don't completely discount it. I think from a football standpoint, he's better than some backups out there. They drafted LaLeta. I think it's possible that they could give him a look. But this was my problem, really, with their strategy going into the season. They didn't have a veteran, any kind of... It doesn't even have to be accomplished. Just experienced veteran, guy that's taken a bunch of snaps to come in here and potentially relieve Eli. It could have been a Mike Glennon type. It could have been any guy. There's a bunch of guys out there in the league like that they could have gone after. And they went with Kyle LaLeta, a mid-round draft pick with no experience. And for him to come in and spark the team, I think is way too much to ask him. From a Kaepernick standpoint, it's just been a really long time since he's played football. So, I mean, personally, I just don't know what kind of football shape he's in. I would be hesitant on that front. Forget the fact that I disagree with him being blacklisted across the league. Now it's at a point where he hasn't played in a long time. I don't know. And this is ignorance on my part. I don't know if it's a top priority for him anymore to get back in the league, considering lawsuits and everything else that have gone on and off-field initiatives that he has. From a off-field perspective, we live in the city or near the city that has the largest police force in the United States. He has been seen at times as being anti-law enforcement, and I think that would be a difficult thing for John Mara and the Giants to have to manage. I'm not saying he is. I'm saying he's been perceived in that way, the Sox and the whole thing. I just think that would
I think
very
the Mariners and the Giants
that.
Are one organization, though, like along with the Rooneys and stuff like that, that if they went ahead and decide to embrace it, that it would go over with the rest of the NFL.
I don't think
you know what I mean?
Like, they are then.
Fair. So. Maybe. And that's fair. I'm just, you know, and maybe it's reactionary. Like I said, check it out on the back page of the Daily News today as well. But I mean, to your point, right? They like Eli's done. You know, and it's gonna, and I think it's gonna get real ugly in New York for the rest of this season. Maybe the answer is a Will Greer. Maybe the answer is a Jake Browning. Maybe they suck for 2 years and wind up with a Tua from Alabama or something like that. But let me ask you this: we've talked about this. You know, you have your quarterback.
It just isn't an ideal offense for him, and the offensive line is hurting.
Yeah,
it's hurting his efforts. He was good last week in Carolina. It's not all Eli's fault. I just think at some point you need to make a change, and if it doesn't happen this year, so be it.
They cut Eric Flowers. I thought that was their change.
Yeah, right. Maybe sign other guys to take over for him in the before you put him out there. But
So who's the quarterback? Who's the starting quarterback for the Giants in Week 1, 2019? Is it your boy Tyrod?
He's not on the team right now.
Right. It's not on the roster, right?
Yeah, he's a few of the guys that we've talked about. It could be Flacco. Could be Teddy Bridgewater.
As a bridge to whoever they draft.
Could be Tyrod Taylor, who could run a West Coast offense. And I think they absolutely have to draft somebody. Unless they feel good about LaLetta. But we heard positive stuff about Davis Webb, and he's not on the team anymore. So I don't know what to think about Kyle LaLetta. People liked him in the draft as a developmental guy. But they have paid too much for defense. They have a high-priced wide receiver and running back.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact that he's a rookie.
Right.
This is supposed to be a win-now team.
They spent money on Soldier at left tackle.
Say that again? Yeah.
I said they spent money on Soldier on the left and left tackle also.
Right.
Right. So, they were going for it now. They thought the window was still open with Eli.
So
they didn't want to hit the reset button. That was the decision they made.
So there's this dichotomy of them being a win-now team because of all the money they've spent, but it isn't any good or it's not working right now. So you can point to Pat Shurmur if you want. He's just got in the building a few months ago. You can point to Eli if you want. You can point at the offensive line. But I've just ripped off three things off the top of my head that are problematic. So there are multiple problems with this team right now. And they gave up 34 points, too. Part of it because they're coughing the ball up in a tough spot. But nonetheless, as far as fantasy is concerned, you got a couple of good nights out of people. Saquon Barkley. Tough night for Odell. Odell walking off the field. I don't know what that's about. I mean, he's got, you know, like you said.
That's what I'm saying. And that's why I don't care if the schedule gets easier, Mike. Right. That's the reason I don't care if the schedule gets easier. This team is in disarray. They had their chance to bow up on national TV at home. It didn't happen. And I think they're just going to be a dumpster fire for the rest of the season.
Could be. Then they get their pick. Drew Lock, Will Greer, whoever you want. So Dane and Mike coming back on FST after the break. We'll do the games for this upcoming Sunday on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
There's only one place to listen to the best fantasy advice, and that's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. By downloading the FNTSY Radio Network app, you'll be blessed with having the top fantasy experts right in your pocket. You'll get award-winning and entertaining programs like The Roto Experts.
Let's cock-a-doodle-do it.
Fantasy Best Friends Forever.
Yo!
Carton and Friends.
Yeah! Buddy,
and so much more.
You feel what I'm saying?
Download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app now and take the most trusted fantasy experts with you wherever you go.
Rocking out on a Football Friday. Excited to have you here. If you're hitting us up on Twitter, do so at FNTSY Radio. I'm at Mike Blewett. Dane is at Spittin' Speeds, S-P-E-E-D-Z. So, my man Dane, you got some games to look at. That was
sure
depressing.
Do.
I feel depressed after that first segment, how bad the Giants are. Living in that city when the team is that bad, it's a huge bummer.
Let's get back into it. Yeah. I hear you. Yo, let me ask you this. Yeah. if you maybe I asked you this earlier, if you take the Yankees out of it, okay?
Yes, sir.
What New York team do you think makes the playoffs next? I'm serious.
We can kill, if we include the Liberty. Yeah, maybe then.
Because then I can include NYCFC over in the MLS, who's going to make the playoffs.
Four
also.
Four major sports.
You know what I'm talking about. They mean the Rangers suck. Also, they got their first win of the year last night. You know what the Knicks are. We know the Mets. We know the Jets and Giants. What do you think, honestly? If you take the Yankees out of it, because I think they'll contend for the next few years with that young core. Who makes the playoffs next in New York?
NFL is such a year-to-year league. Like, things can turn around pretty quick, and you can get on a run.
Okay.
I'll say the Jets. Really? I think Giants. Because what's a unique thing for the Giants is that we just went through it, how much talent they have. And if you just make the right change or two, it can happen for them. But the fact that it's going south now, and like Vernon is older, and right. Jenkins is getting older, and you know, right. I don't know if they're gonna turn it around soon. Like, they might have to.
Right. I mean,
up.
Like, you know, in a year, the Knicks could have Jimmy Butler and Kyrie Irving also. So who knows, right?
Dude, don't take me down that path. I just don't want to do it. I don't want to get myself into thinking that might happen, because it's not going to happen. I'm not going to convince myself.
Zion Williamson, baby.
Yeah.
That's where it's coming.
Yeah, well, that might be the case. I don't know. We're top three pick again. So.
Right. That's what I'm saying. But I think it's an interesting question. We were talking about that at the bar last night. And, like, we didn't really have an answer, nor could we dispute anyone else's answer.
Yeah. So, because the other teams are
like
so
maybe
far
the
away.
Mets with DeGrom and Syndergaard, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah. So if you're you enjoy playing daily fantasy sports but are sick of dealing with pros using algorithms to select hundreds of lineups and entries, try the Props Builder tool at mybookie.ag. Forget having to create multiple lineups and ditch the hassle of dealing with late scratches. Avoid experts winning 90% of the money. Invest in the players that you want without salary caps, and if you sign up for a new account using the promo code FNTSY, you can receive a 50% deposit bonus. There's no more dealing with late lineup scratches, no experts to compete against, just you and the prop that you choose. Go to mybookie.ag, enter promo code FNTSY upon sign up, and choose your matchups using a props builder tool. That's mybookie.ag, promo code FNTSY. So, major injury news. We can get to that in a moment, but let's just take a couple of highlight games here, Dane. We're going to do our picks in the final segment. A couple of highlight games.
Yeah, buddy.
What game to you jumps out as being the game of the week? I feel like every week the Steelers get focused on as being a game of the week, and I'm trying not to do that because I'm a Steelers fan. It happens to be one of the featured games this week, Steelers-Bengals. I think people are really curious to see if the Bengals can create some distance between them and the Steelers. I don't think they're going to. I think the Steelers are going to win, but give me another game besides that one.
Sure. So I tagged you. You know, I do fantasy freestyle on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Blewett, just so you know, to clarify for you, Tuesdays and Thursdays, 7 to 8 p.m., right? And I tagged you on my poll question for last night's show. And I told you, you know, that – oh, you missed it? Okay.
Yes,
so
that.
The total for Sunday Night Football is up to 60, right?
Oh.
So that's going to be my spotlight game of the week, Blewett. Yeah. And then my poll question, check this out, was – you know, how do you feel about this total, right? And the options I gave on the poll were I would take the over even at 65. Option two was I'm pounding the under right now.
Yeah, I saw that. I did.
And the third option was the total is about right. Where do you think people went?
I think
it's pretty close.
I didn't look back at the poll, but I would say that people are pounding the under.
39% are pounding the under, 32% say they take the over even at 65, and 29% say it's right about right. You know, so I say this to mean, though, Blue, to answer your question, to me, the spotlight game of the week are the Chiefs and the Patriots on Sunday night. I say get everyone in your lineups from that game, but I want to test that theory, Blewett. Do you literally get every Patriot in your lineup? I think you got to get Gronk. We love both running backs, right? We know about – so what about Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman? I think you got to start
for
them.
Sure. The Gordon and Hogan questions are the tougher ones.
Right. Let's go there. Right.
It's a leap of faith on Gordon in particular. You know, But the Chiefs have really struggled in covering people. So I think he is somebody that right. could be an interesting play for this week. I have Josh Gordon in a couple of leagues. He's always questionable. So, everybody in the Patriots is always questionable. So I got to figure out exactly who are the right options there. But I think Gordon and Hogan have to be looked at more this week than you have in previous weeks. I just think that's – and Philip Dorsett has obviously been somewhat productive in certain games, but that's where it gets muddled. The irony is that for years, Dane, we've tried to avoid the Patriots running back situation because we don't know exactly what's going on. And now right. at the now back end of the wide receiving
low court. Low-end RB1s back at high-end RB2s.
That's right.
Right.
Yeah. Now we have two exactly. guys that like start them every week, and on the wide receiving core, we're like, I don't know what to do after Edelman.
Yeah, I think Edelman is obvious. I think Gronk is obvious. I feel a little stronger about Gordon than you do, Blewett. I think you gotta go, I think you gotta put him in there. If you believe that 60 points will be scored in this game, you know, if you think that is a viable total, and you think New England's putting up between 28 and 34 points in this game, I think it is a safe bet that Josh Gordon gets behind the defense at least once. Like if you and me, if I was on Thrive Fantasy. You know, and this was a prop bet. I would lean positive on Josh Gordon. I would lean over, say I would lean over 60 yards, and I would bet the prop, especially if I got like multiple points for it or whatever. I'd bet the prop that Josh Gordon scores on Sunday night.
Yeah, so I'll give you a practical example. He's on my Scott Fishbowl team. Scott Fishbowl
said in first place out of 900.
Yeah, I'm doing all right there to start the season. So. Out of 900 teams, I'm currently in first place, and Josh Gordon is my wide receiver. I currently have him on the bench. Here are the guys. Now, the Isaiah Crowell news might push this in the other direction. So
yeah.
My running backs are James Conner, Isaiah Crowell, Carlos Hyde, and Deion Lewis. Have all of them starting. Kamara's on a bye. And the wide receivers I have starting are Kiki Kuti, Juju, Adam Thielen, Robert Woods. My bench wide receivers are Marquise Goodwin, Josh Gordon, Dante Moncrief, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. So really what I could do is probably sit Kuti or Crowell
Kiki, yeah.
and put in Gordon. That's really what the call would be.
Well, like you said, the injury, the health of Crowell could make that decision for you. I think I would take a chance on Gordon over QT. Personally. And listen, here's the thing. We talk about it all the time, Blewett. You know, for me, look, this game on Sunday night, the total is 60. The Houston-Buffalo game, the total is 41. You know, and I can see Houston's a 10-point favorite. I can see them trying to get the run game going. You know DeAndre Hopkins is still the primary target there. I like Kiki QT just the same as the next man. But I would take my shot on Gordon over Kiki personally, but it may be an easy decision for you because of the Isaiah Crowell ankle issue.
Yeah. So what a bummer, right? 200-yard game. I benched him. I have him in two leagues. Yeah. I benched him in both leagues. He rips.
I had him on
a
bench some
game.
Places too.
So, I mean, what are you going to do? He was not that consistent. Yeah. I put him down, and he has a career year. History-making game for the New York Jets.
Yeah, franchise history, yeah.
So – it is what it is, you know. Sometimes you win some, you lose some on calls like that, and I bench them.
Listen,
so,
on go ahead. The one team where I have Isaiah Crowell, I have Ezekiel Elliott and Joe Mixon. You know, like I'm not starting him over those two guys.
Yeah, he's a flex play.
You know
for
what
you,
I
right?
mean? Well, yeah, in this league, my two starting wideouts are D-Hop and Stephon Diggs. Zeke Elliott and Joe Mixon are the running backs. So my flex plays, my other guys that I toy between are they I used to have Jay Ajayi, so he was flexed every now and then for me as well. There's Crowell, and then on the wide receiver side I also own Jarvis Landry and Kenny Galladay. So you know, Crowell is not necessarily getting in over like Galladay or Juice Landry in PPR formats for me most weeks anyway, to be honest.
Do you know who leads? I'm gonna transition over to trivia and start going through some of these games. You know who leads the NFL in passing
Ooh,
yards
trivia.
Right now?
Oh, but is it right now? Interesting. Is it Matty Ice?
It is not. It is Jared Goff. 1,727 passing yards, second in the NFL with a 119.7 QB rating. The other team in this game is the Broncos. So we're talking about Rams Broncos right now. Rams traveling to Denver. weather going to be a factor there? It's supposed to be, as of this moment, in the 30s, potentially snowing at game time in Denver. So that Los Angeles team is going to get a wake-up call when it comes to the weather. Keep in mind. Just keep that in mind. I have no issues with Gurley there, but you just wonder if the passing offense is muted somewhat. Royce Freeman is aiming for his third game at home with a rushing touchdown. He has a touchdown in three of his past four, and he's one of four NFL rookies with 250-plus scrimmage yards. He is sitting at 271 with the three touchdowns. Who are the other three? One is easy, obviously. You saw him last night.
Wait, say this again?
250 scrimmage yards. There's four rookies that have north of 250 scrimmage yards, and he is one of them. Royce Freeman is the other guy we saw last night. Saquon basically did it on his own last night. So there's two more.
So there's two others?
Yep.
Calvin Ridley.
That's right.
Philip Lindsay.
No. Good one, though. He's not there yet.
Okay. Scrimmage yards. Over 250?
Oh, I'm sorry. It's 250. Sorry. It's 250 scrimmage yards and three touchdowns. That was the mistake I made. Lindsay is actually right on the scrimmage yards.
I see.
But and three touchdowns. So it's Freeman, Barkley, Ridley. There's one more.
Ridley. And three touchdowns as well.
One more guess and then I'll give it.
Okay. Naheem Hines.
That's right. Look at you. It's clean sweep for Dane Martinez. Crush that
trivia.
Yeah,
buddy.
So
there we go. I promise I did not look this up.
That's all right. I believe you. We have some integrity here on this show. So that's one of the games to take a look at. We got weather there. Broncos a 7-point underdog. It's a 52.
Yeah, me and Scott are heads up on this game. Me and Scott are on the opposite side. We both picked this game. We picked opposite sides. I think you can tell, based on our narratives, I think you can tell which way I went and which way he went.
Yeah, I would say so. Well, he just likes the home dog.
No, I like the home dog, as you know, sir. Okay. And a touchdown's way too much for me. Give me Denver plus 7.
Denver is one of the teams that's been hard for me to read. Because I didn't really like them going into the season.
They're so much better at home than on the road.
Yeah, I didn't like them that much. That's a good point. I didn't like them too much going into the season, but there were some sharp bettors that towards the end of the preseason were like, people need to take a look at Denver over 7.5. So I started thinking about it, but they were terrible last week. They won some tight games at home, that Raiders game. They really kind of should have lost that one, too. They could easily be 1-4 right now. They won the Seattle game, which was a tight game too. Like, they haven't been impressive in any game.
Yeah, but when I get 7 points, I'll take a tight game. You know, that's the thing. It's to me, it's not like I think they're a good team. I just think 7 for the home dog is way too much. The Rams back-to-back road games. I know it looks like Cooks and Kupp are actually going to give it a go, but they're concussed. They're banged up. You added the weather concern. And also, listen, when the Chiefs were high-flying and they went into Denver, they had a muted performance. I could see the Rams, you know, putting up 27. I could see them winning this game 27-21. But I just think 7 or 7.5, depending on your shop. I just think it's too much.
Yeah.
And I'm learning my lesson. You're going to see my picks. I'm all home dogs, baby.
Yeah. So when we talked a couple of days ago, we opened with 8 home underdogs. It's switched since then. We only have 5 that are true home underdogs right now. Chargers Browns switched to a pick. The Red Washington is now favored. By a point. That's a funky game. I saw that spread. That was one of the spreads that jumped out to me. I was like, Washington's favored. Panthers playing much better than them right now. The Redskins, Washington, I almost said it again.
You're on my other pick.
Washington.
I'm on Carolina.
Yeah, so I'm not going to be on that one. We'll do them officially in the next segment, but I just wanted to bounce around to a few more games. Obviously, we talked Steelers-Bengals. We got a little bit there for Rams-Broncos. Rams, I think the good news for you, Kupp and Cooks owners, is it looks like they were ready to go through those walkthroughs yesterday. They're trying to get in a full practice today on Friday. Geronimo Allison, I just want to go around the injuries before I go back to another game. Geronimo Allison is out of concussion protocol. He practiced with the worked with the rehab group in practice. He's dealing with a hamstring injury. Aaron Rodgers, Randall Cobb also worked with the rehab group. Rodgers told reporters he suffered a setback in his knee rehab. So he's still out there playing hurt. That's the reality. Jimmy Graham missed practice because of a knee injury, but Jimmy Graham always misses practices. I think that's a Jimmy Graham thing.
Yeah.
And not to be worried about for starting him this week. So go ahead. You had a question.
Yeah, what about people? A lot of people on Twitter are asking me about the Packers wide receivers and as it relates to if they should ride again with Marcus Valdes-Scantling. Blew it, you know, and I think the complicating thing here is that they're Monday night, you know, so will you even have the complete injury information on Cobb and Allison? It looks like, you know, they're trending in a positive direction, but you're going to have to make that call because for you, it might be Valdes-Scantling or, you know, wide receiver X who plays on Sunday. So how do you play that if you don't have the full injury picture as it relates to Cobb and Allison? For your decision on,
I think you tear through all
the
internet tomorrow morning, and you'll know what happened on Friday. Like you'll just get some reports if Cobb doesn't practice in full today, or if Allison is his hamstring injury is bothering him. If neither of these guys can go today, and there's some sort of a setback, then you can go with Valdes-Scantling. But if you have a full complement and full Randall Cobb and full Geronimo Allison. Valdes-Scantling just goes into the background, and I don't think he becomes I don't think they infuse him into the offense because he had a good game while everybody else was hurt. So that's my thoughts.
No, Devontae Freeman,
owners, I think need to be aware. Dan Graziano from ESPN said that he's unlikely to play this weekend. They don't expect it to be a long term thing, but he's dealing with another injury. So Devontae Freeman may be out. Tevin Coleman owners, keep that in mind. When Dan Quinn says he doesn't believe the injury is long term. That means it is short-term. So I think Devontae Freeman could be out this week. Greg Olsen limited at practice again, but all signs continue to point toward a possible Sunday return. I think you have to keep that in mind. Full days of practice ahead for him, potentially. Who else? Zeke Elliott, good to go. Cole Beasley, Tavon Austin, all good to go. I'll update you more on his injury
stuff. A lot of Colts
still
banged up as well.
Who's that?
A lot of Colts banged up. T.Y. Still.
T.Y. Hilton did not practice again yesterday. Marlon Mack, a full participant. That just muddies the waters of the running back position. Nyheim Hines, the only guy you want there. We'll be right back to do our picks.
If you're someone that needs fantasy sports advice every day, the Fantasy Sports Radio Network has you covered. When you download the FNTSY Sports Radio Network app, you get the top fantasy advice every single day, right through the weekend. Be sure to listen to our weekend warriors like College Football Today.
Welcome to College Football Today.
Weekend Fantasy Update.
They call me the Fantasy Jesus.
In this league,
it is never short of excitement.
So much more. Download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app in the iTunes and Google Play Store now and keep the best fantasy experts right in your pocket all day long and all week long.
Back on FNTSY, and for those of you playing DFS this weekend, let's find the read. Do this. For those of you playing DFS this weekend, DailyRoto.com is trying to make fantasy great again. We told you how the site that has produced 7 separate FanDuel and DraftKings million-dollar tournament winners and millions more in smaller prizes for countless subscribers. This past Sunday, for example, using the Roto and Daily Roto NFL lineup optimizer, Colin Drew cashed for nearly $72K on DraftKings. He also cashed for like $175 the next night. So head on over to DailyRoto.com
on Monday,
enter promo code FNTSY for a special discount and take part in the daily fantasy winning. You're going to win so much, you're going to get sick of winning. And if it's sports wagering you're into, click on the new sports betting tab. We'll be able to use the same tools that have produced all those daily fantasy winnings. DailyRoto.com, they're making fantasy great again. It's DailyRoto.com, the industry website where millionaires are made and thousandaires, too. I'm looking forward to listening to that podcast a little bit later today. So we got a bunch of stuff to bang through here in this final segment before Carton and Friends with the lovely Michelle Serpico, Gabe Morency, and Corey Parson.
Birthday boy.
Yeah, his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday to Corey. They went to the game last night to celebrate Corey's birthday. It's going to be an interesting first
hour
of that show. So feel free to
I hope they didn't get rained on the whole night.
Yeah, yeah, it was dumping rain pretty hard here in New York. So let's get back to those injuries real quick. You mentioned the Colts are all banged up. T.Y. Hilton didn't practice again. I think you're going to have to consider him doubtful heading into the weekend. But who knows? If he gets a practice in today, he could be back. Jets defensive lineman Leonard Williams and running back Isaiah Crowell did not practice yesterday. Offensive tackle Taylor Lewan for the Titans was a full participant in the Titans' Thursday practice, so that's good. Jags defensive back Jalen Ramsey returned to the practice field on Thursday, only in a limited role. Malik Jackson, Leonard Fournette, DJ Hayden, and offensive lineman Josh Wells did not participate for the Jaguars and have all been ruled out for Sunday. So you got some issues there with the Jaguars. That could be an interesting one. Playing the Cowboys, who looked as bad as the Giants did last time they played. Texans quarterback Deshaun Watson, chest, and wide receiver DeAndre Hopkins, foot, each limited in practice. Kiki Kuti, Will Fuller, also limited. Running back Lamar Miller, full participant. And Jadeveon Clowney, also practice after sitting out Wednesday because of an illness. Larry Fitzgerald was limited in practice. I have Fitz on a couple of teams, Dane. He is permanently on the bench until something good happens.
Yeah. I mean, people are asking me if we cut Larry Fitzgerald at this point. And he's one of those guys. I'm like, you can't cut. You can't trade. You have to just grin and bear it because, you know, what's going to happen? You drop him, and then all of a sudden week 11 comes around, and he's built his rapport with Rosen, and he's back to being Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah, just give it
some time.
Remember,
he gets over that hamstring injury. You can't do that with a guy like Larry Fitzgerald. You just got to keep him on your bench for now.
Yeah, I mean, I have virtually no Cardinals. I think I have Fitz. I might only have him once, but I think I could have him twice across my team. So let's see. Vikings running back Dalvin Cook. This is a big one. Went from limited participation on Wednesday to full participation on Thursday. I'm still worried about the hamstring, but if he's practicing in full and he's playing in full and they're playing the Cardinals, Dalvin Cook's out there, period. Adrian Peterson with the shoulder that he popped back into the game the other night. Tight end Vernon Davis, wide receiver Josh Doctson. Jeez, I mean, I can't believe that guy.
Richardson, Crowder, all of them.
Trent Williams, all limited in practice. Crowder and Richardson did not practice at all. And Crowder has like a touchdown catch in four of his last five at home too. So Chargers three offensive linemen limited in practice, as was kicker Caleb Sturgis. So if you have, I mean, for those of you playing in kicker leagues, Caleb Sturgis, you got to keep an eye on that because you may have to make a last-minute change. Chiefs linebacker Justin Houston and safety Eric Berry did not participate at practice. From what I understand, Houston is unlikely to play. So keep pushing that total up, Dane. Pats wideout Chris Hogan did not participate at all. Gronk, Gordon, defensive tackle Malcolm Brown, Sony Michel, and cornerback Eric Rowe all limited. I just think they're managing all those guys. See what happens today.
Yeah, I'm not
making any judgments
that.
On that. But Hogan not practicing at all is something. If Hogan's out, I'm playing Josh Gordon.
Then you're starting Josh Gordon, right?
Absolutely. Matt Breida with two injuries and Pierre Garçon with another two injuries did not participate in practice. Three offensive linemen sat out for the Niners. This is bad. This is when the bye weeks are going to start to help teams. Richard Sherman, Jimmy Ward,
limited. All the more reason, Blewett.
What's that?
I was going to say, all the more reason why my survivor pick this week is the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, it's tough to go in a different direction. I want to go in a different direction to be different, but it's going to be tough. And Marquise Goodwin was a full participant. So for those of you that have struggled with Marquise Goodwin and probably even dropped him in certain instances, I think he's at least an option for you in a game with a it's an okay total. Oakland Raiders guard Kelechi Osemele didn't take part in practice because of knee injury. So that's it. That was 20 items I had to get through. Not all that fun, but so there you go. I wanted to take a quick look. We have 10 minutes to go. So I wanted to take a quick look because Dane and I communicate during the week, text back and forth, and you know, chat back and forth, and I always find these articles, which are fun to talk about, and the new odds came out on the Super Bowl. This is as of October 9th. Obviously, there could have been slight changes in the last couple of days, especially based on last night. I imagine the Eagles' odds, just even if it only a little bit, probably got a little bit shorter because they looked pretty good last night. But they just the Eagles, for example, their odds opened at 10-1. The updated odds were 25-1. I wouldn't be surprised if they came back down to 20-1 because they looked so good last night. But nonetheless, shortest odds right now, the LA Rams, 7-4. They opened at 20-1. Man, if you had the Rams at 20-1, this is according to Westgate, by the way. They run super contests and many other contests. If you had the Rams at 20-1, that's good value right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's good value at the beginning of the season. They were thought of as one of the top contenders. Their season win total was up over 10, you know? So, yeah, I think that's a great look. I'm over on mybookie.ag, our partners over there, and they're at plus 300 right now. They are the first choice over at mybookie.ag as well.
Yeah, so so the Chiefs are second now, tied with the Pats at 6-1. Mm-hmm. Interesting, because the odds will change after they play this weekend. But the Chiefs were at 30-1. The Pats are 5-1. So you got real value on the Chiefs being a pick. And I have them. We made our preseason selections. I have the Chiefs as my sixth playoff team, correct?
You do?
Yeah. I also have Atlanta winning the Super Bowl. I'm not patting myself on the back.
This is also true. This is also true. You have Jacksonville and KC as your wild card teams. I have Jacksonville and Cincinnati because we both picked the Chargers in the West.
Oh. That is not going to happen. That's just not going to happen.
The Chargers might be in the playoffs, though. They could be a wild card.
That's right. That's right. Saints at 9-1. Vikes at 14-1. That rounds out the top five. So the Vikes odds.
I'd be interested in the movement on the Bears. Blewett.
I think that's probably the biggest movement. Them and the Bengals are the biggest movement. The Bengals are 100-1. Were 100-1, as were the Bears going into the season. They are now both at 25-1. So you can get.
I'd be interested in the Bears.
And the Vikings odds got longer. The Saints odds got significantly shorter from 16-1 to 9-1. But right now, as you're looking through that, I mean, the Steelers are 8-1. They're up to 30-1 right now. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl. But if we're talking about interesting odds, the Steelers at 30-1, the Packers at 30-1, the Panthers at 30-1. The Titans are still at 40-1.
The Bears at 25-1.
The Titans are still at 40-1. And you know what? I passed my opportunity to take the Titans early in the season. If I had to make a wager right now, obviously it's all tied into this show. And I know they play ugly games. Gabe Morris, he's giving me the stink eye. I know they play ugly games, but what if they win this weekend? And by the way, they're going to be one of my picks this weekend, a home dog.
No, they're one of mine, too. I told you, we're home dogs, baby.
That's right.
They're one of mine, too.
I should go today and put a little piece of money on the Titans. When I threw $50 on the Titans at 40-1.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I mean, they got to win
it. Be very nice.
You got to win
it. Listen, for me in that range, it's the Chicago Bears blew it. Look, you know, the Packers odds have changed, go from 10 to 30. The Vikings odds have changed. They've gone back. They've gone down from 10 to 14, right? I don't know. And I think the Bears are uniquely qualified to be the kind of team that if they saw the Rams in the playoffs would have a chance to get that pressure and upset the apple cart, right? Yeah. So I really believe in what I've seen from that Chicago Bears defense. They might be able to win a division. Imagine a team coming into Chicago in January. I think that could be a very tough task against that defense. And I think this is a team that's going to get better offensively as the season goes along. I think Trubisky maybe turns a corner at some point. I think they get better as the season goes along. I think the Bears would be interesting at 25-1.
Last two teams I mentioned, the Jaguars odds actually got shorter, 20-1 to 16-1. I'm a little surprised by that. I thought they would hold true, but the Falcons odds have obviously fallen apart. They opened at 16-1 and they're now at 80-1. So their price is gone. I mean,
the Chargers have come down. Ironically, I think that's interesting.
That's okay though. I think people understand that the Chargers aren't playing great right now, but they can still rip off a bunch of wins given their schedule. So let's go to our picks.
Their only two losses were the Chiefs and the Rams.
That's right. They lost to the two undefeated teams in the league. So. Let's do our picks. I'll start off with mine since I already mentioned it. I'll take the Titans, which I'll probably do every week. I'll take the Titans plus 2.5. The over there is 41.5. But, you know, the home dogs have been good right now. There's going to be some regression on that front. But I'll take the Titans to bounce back against the Ravens here. The Ravens' schedule has been really tough. And I just think that this is a little bit of a tall order for them to go on the road against the Titans. Titans play these ugly games, and I wouldn't be surprised if they win another one by three. But I will take the Titans here getting the points.
Yeah, I like that, Blewett. I think we're going to be simpatico potentially this week. I also am on the Titans. You know how I'm going to go with these home dogs. I agree with you. The Titans play like ugly league close games, even their loss to Buffalo, their win against Jacksonville. That's the kind of games they play. And Joe Flacco's coming back down to earth a little bit. And I think Baltimore is a team that is much better at home than they are on the road. They go on the road to Tennessee. Tennessee needs this game to keep pace in that division. I like Tennessee to win outright. So if you're going to give me 2.5 or 3 points, I like it even better.
Same. So do give me your second one.
Sure. I have alluded to these already. Give me the Carolina Panthers going into Washington. Okay, you talked about how banged up the Washington football team is. I just think that the Panthers' offense is more dynamic. Give me Cam Newton and Christian McCaffrey, a returning Greg Olsen. And I just don't like. I don't think the Washington offense can really hold up. We saw what happened on Monday night. They have the short rest. You mentioned it in the injuries, how banged up they are. I see it right now as a pick. Over on mybookie.ag. I think the Carolina Panthers win on Sunday. Give me Carolina as my second pick against
Washington. We only have about a minute and a half to go. My second pick is the Falcons. I actually do think they bounce back here against the Bucs. I'm going to take I know I have to give up a field goal, and that, I could see that being a field goal game, but I'm going to take the Falcons there. So give me your third game.
Yeah, real quick, my third one is I'm going to Denver. Give me 7. I think that's too much for another home dog. You mentioned the snow. These wide receivers coming back from concussion. I think the Denver defense is still reputable. Rams on the road, second week in a row. Give me 7 points for the home dog. Give me Denver.
I want to take the Bills, Gabe Morency. I want to take them. They're getting 10. Texans aren't blowing anybody out.
Yeah, it's 10.
That's true. I really want to take the Bills. I should just do it.
Plus 10?
Yeah, I don't like that game that you picked at all, because I think Carolina is a way better team, and the spread is begging me to take them, but I don't know.
Right.
I wonder if Washington
want you,
has
they want the action on Carolina.
I think Washington is like, this could be a last stand kind of game for him and Jake Gruden and the whole squad. So I also think the Vikings.
So you got Tennessee, Atlanta, and who else?
I think the Vikings are going to destroy
Buffalo,
the Cardinals.
Maybe?
I think the Cardinals had their nice emotional win. Josh Rosen coming back. Now I think they come back to earth. So I will take the Vikings, giving up a lot of points. I'll take the Vikings minus 10. So that's
and
it
Green
for
Bay
us.
For
Football
Survivor?
Friday. Oh, Survivor pick is the Packers. We both got that. So we'll see folks on Tuesday. Good luck this weekend. I'll be on the air all day on Sunday with Gabe, with Corey, with Jim Day and Scott Engel. Have a great weekend, everybody, and good luck.